Bienvenidos, amigas y amigos, a nuestro programa, nuestro podcast, What is the Jewel?, where we unpack the gospel for the week and provide you with a deeper sense of it by searching for the jewel within the gospel. Soy su co-host, la doctora Claudia Álvarez Roddy.
Yo soy el padre Ben Tapia. Esperamos que se encuentren bien y listos para preparar nuestros corazones para el evangelio de esta semana.
Welcome back.
Thank you. Well-deserved rest.
I hope so. Ya llevamos que no nos vemos en persona because we've been trying to record this. So if you kind of heard the audio a little bit off, it's because we were trying something new. First of all, we didn't want to leave you, the listener, without a podcast. And then we didn't have time to meet with each other in person. And so we tried an online thing. You know, you might have one of those podcasts in the future because lo que no queremos es que ustedes no se queden sin programa, sin un episodio. So we're going to do everything in our power to try to get you something. So when you don't have quality, just know it's we just wanted you to have something. So now, ahora te veo presente en persona.
Ya, de hecho, le comenté a unos amigos que íbamos a usar, que utilizamos una aplicación para hacerlo. Me dice, ya, we noticed that you were not in the same place.
Pero, like we said, you know, we're trying everything so that you don't have to go without a week. But just know there might be a week where we just can't do it, and we'll let you guys know. But we're really trying to make sure that every week we have something to share because we believe in this mission and we believe in what we are being called. So, así que como siempre, we invite you to open up your heart, your minds, your ears, and let the Spirit move you this week. So with that being said, let's get started.
Well, as we have arrived to our destination this Easter season, I would like to ask you a question that relates us to the gospel of this Sunday. Think of a time in the morning where you had a powerful experience, a morning experience.
Yeah, there's so many that come to mind. I can think of, I'm a morning person. Well,
ugh.
I should say this differently. I was a morning person because mi trabajo implicaba que me tenía que levantar. The last job was 4:45 in the morning, and I would work out, shower, and then get on the road. Porque igual los que conocen el tráfico de Los Ángeles es lo pésimo. Like, it's just awful, right? So if I needed to get to work at a certain time, I loved going in. Nobody would bother me, shut the door, just kind of like go in. But now that that's changed, my morning is kind of a little later. But if I think about a powerful experience for me, it has to be the many times I take a red eye flight to Guatemala. It's not ideal. It's not something I like to do. Yo soy de las pocas personas que me puedo dormir en el avión.
Oh my gosh. Not me.
Yeah, no me tienen que dar absolutamente nada. Yo me duermo. Es más, me duermo en el carro. You know, James could be driving and he's like, okay, honey, if you need to take a nap, and I'm like already dozing off.
Our princess.
Yes. You know, so I'm that person. I can sleep before the plane takes off. Me acomodo y lista. Pero las veces que he entrado a Guatemala, I remember the first time I did this trip by myself, it was a red eye. And I remember like waking up and I felt like, okay, people are starting to shuffle. And that was, we were starting to get ready for the ascent or the descent, excuse me. So I remember opening up the blind and it was like 5:30 in the morning and the sun starting to rise. That was powerful, right? Because now I can see the sun from above. But what was really powerful was seeing the volcanoes just flying up, you know, we're flying above the volcanoes. And los que han conocido Guatemala conocen que es el país es conocido por los volcanes que estamos rodeados. Like, there's so many volcanoes in Guatemala. And so that was just like, whoa, I can't believe we're flying so above them. And just, they're just so majestic, you know, just to watch. And the awe of, man, somebody created this equipment that we called the airplane that lets us soar over, fly to our destination. And for me, it's just, it's being able to admire it and to see a lot of the green, too, because we get to see Guatemala is just covered with lots of green. There's a lot of undeveloped areas. Once you get into the capital, you start to see the buildings and you start to go, oh, yo conozco ahí, or ya llegamos a tal lugar, you know, because the airport is in the city. So yeah, it's this powerful moment, and then the quiet that you hear in the airplane because we're all admiring the volcanoes. So yeah, that's a powerful moment for me. And then that just always takes me back to go, I'm home now.
In the morning, that's good.
Yeah.
Beautiful story.
So, y tú, cuéntame something powerful. I know you're not a morning
person. That was a challenge to when you brought up that question. No, because I'm not a morning person. I've struggled all my life. And it's interesting because it physically hurts to wake up. It doesn't matter how many hours I sleep or how comfortable I am or where I am. Waking up in the morning, it's horrible. And I remember when I was in the seminar, I used to think, oh, I can't wait for this to be over. I just want to become a priest to get this over with. And then my first parish, when I was with Father Kelly, our first mass was at 7 a.m. every day. And I had the 7 a.m. mass every day, and it was suffering.
Es como que Dios te dijo,
You don't like this? Well, there you go.
I know.
but no, it's really interesting because still struggling. I was just telling you, I had 6 shots of espresso this morning too. Para venir como arbolito de Navidad bien prendido. and even in my previous parish when I was in Forest Grove in Oregon, I had a sign on my door that says, I drink coffee for your protection. And my employees knew that they couldn't talk to me before I would have coffee.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny.
Because I'm just miserable. However, something that has been very powerful to me, and that happened after I became a priest. Not even when I was in the seminary. When I was in the seminary, I was still suffering through every single morning. But once I became a priest, I go through every day. I go through this painful experience, waking up and getting ready and everything. But once I'm celebrating the Eucharist, everything changes. And it sets my whole day. And when I walked out of church, or when I'm listening to the word and the concert, I mean, the Eucharist literally transforms me into a human being to go into the world now that I get to celebrate the Mass every day in the morning. Before I was a priest, it will take me hours before I will be ready to go into the world. And now it doesn't matter. Like, for instance, in St. Emidius, I had Mass at 6:30 in the morning, which was challenging. Yeah. Sometimes with the Sisters of Charity, I will help also at 6 in the morning. And it was challenging. But once I was there, I allowed myself to be transformed. So, I always emphasize to a lot of people that, during the offertory, we offer the bread and wine to be transformed into the body and blood and soul and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ. But a lot of people forget that we're also being offered, right, and we're also being transformed. And so in my experiences, I have experienced that. I experience that transformation every morning because it really sets up my day. Otherwise, without the Eucharist in the morning, I wouldn't be able to do all I have to do. I wouldn't be able to, especially when I meet with people on a daily basis.
Yeah.
And if I'm in a bad mood, and if I'm miserable, well, I'm not able to. I'm just become part of the problem instead of being part of the solution. So, yeah, the Eucharist, it's a bit, I think it's my only morning good experience I've ever had.
I love that. Well, I think that just fits perfectly with what we're going to be listening to this week for today's gospel and how it transformed people.
Yes.
And the people that were touched by or had that connection or that revelation in such a beautiful way. So as always, I invite you to remember that we are always in the presence of God, and this is going to be a gospel according to St. John. At the time, Jesus revealed himself again to his disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. He revealed himself in this way. Together were Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, Zebedee's sons, and 2 others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. They said to him, we also will come with you. So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. When it was already dawn, Jesus was standing on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, children, have you caught anything to eat? They answered him, no. He said to them, cast a net over the right side of the boat and you will find something. So they cast it and were not able to pull it in because of the number of fish. So the disciples whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard it was the Lord, he tucked in his garments, for he was lightly clad, and jumped into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, for they were not far from the shore, only about 100 yards, dragging the net with the fish. When they climbed onto the shore, they saw a charcoal fire with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you caught." So Simon Peter went over and dragged the net to shore, full of 153 large fish. Even though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come have breakfast." And none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they realized it was the Lord. Jesus came over and took the bread and gave it to them, and in like manner the fish. This was now the third time Jesus has revealed to his disciples after being raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" Simon Peter answered him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lamb." He then said to Simon Peter a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Simon Peter answered him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." Jesus said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was distressed that Jesus had said to him a third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." "Amen, amen, I say to you, when you were younger, you used to dress yourself and go where you wanted. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." He said this, signifying by what kind of death he would glorify God. And when he had said this, he said to him, "Follow me."
The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. This is a very powerful gospel, as all of them they are. You know, they're all unique in their own way. But I think one of the beautiful parts about this gospel this week is something that caught my attention is that we hear John saying this is the third time that Jesus appears to him, to the disciples. But actually, John forgot to mention that this is the fourth time, because se le apareció a María Magdalena. That's the first time. Then he appears to disciples without Thomas. That's the second time. And then he appears to the disciples with Thomas. That's the third time. And then this is the fourth time he appears to them. However, something that we want to start off our segment here with today is that John only mentions seven disciples. And that's something that caught your attention.
Yeah, it's really interesting because as we come to this final chapter of the Gospel of John, we see that John presents everything in his Gospel with the number seven, which is the fulfillment. Even though, you know, there were all these, the 11 disciples at this point, because Paul wasn't there yet and Judas was no longer there. They only mentioned seven, but it's really interesting because the number seven suggests the fullness of the community. You know, that there wasn't a need to, maybe they were all of them at that point, but he only mentioned seven. And we see through the whole gospel, the number seven, you know, in the Gospel of John, we only see seven signs of Jesus. The first being the wedding at Cana, and then he describes only seven signs. There's only seven times that Jesus says, I am the bread of life, I am the way, the truth, you know. So it is very interesting that the numbers and the Gospel of John. And however, it was interesting because I love the reference that John makes, especially describing, you know, that this happened on the river. You know, they were fisher,
right?
And as we were talking before we started recording, you know, the apostles have gone back to their old jobs, you know, because their leader was gone and dead, and they were still hadn't, even though they had seen him a couple of times, they hadn't processed the whole thing.
Pues imagínate, o sea, de un día a la mañana,
se te cae todo.
Todo.
Sí, exacto.
And I think, if anything, they were probably going through the stages of grief.
Absolutely. The denial, the anger, that all of that. So what they did, they went back to what they used to do.
Yeah.
And this happened, you know, but when I was preparing for today's podcast, I was reading, you know, the imagery that John uses. You know, we see that they were in a boat, the net, the number of fish that they were catching. And I love that because that is the imagery of the church, you know, that boat being led by Jesus. But when we were talking about that, I told you I was reading from Father Albert Lacroix. If you ever get a chance to read him, he does amazing exegesis to the Gospels every Sunday. And I was reading that his approach to the net, you know, the net of being symbolizing the strength and the unity of the church, how we hold on together, you know, and how do we all together become also the body of Christ. And but it's interesting because also when he mentions the 153 fish, also it doesn't have a specific meaning. Maybe it has a but I couldn't find it. But it speaks more so about the missionary work of the apostles and the church, you know, how to bring people into the church. But we, the church, had to hold on together to keep everyone, you know. So and most importantly, you know, even the fulfillment of this image of the church is, yeah, he was leading them into the waters, instructing them of how to fish and how to catch this fish. But then the fulfillment of this whole fishing experience was once again the breaking of the bread, you know, the sharing of that meal, having breakfast together, that Eucharistic mission of the church that is the source and summit of everything that we are. And if we see after the resurrection, and even before the resurrection, Jesus always emphasizes the importance of the meal after the Last Supper, you know, and how he breaks the bread with them, or even in the way of Emmaus and one of the other stories, you know, they're recognizing after breaking of the bread, you know, and until this day, the source and summit of the church is that breaking of the bread where we all become together, where we all are in the same boat, that's where we become I always have a hard time, not that I have a hard time, but I always try to explain, you know, when people say, why don't we raise the hands during the Our Father? Because you know, in a lot of our Christian communities, our brothers and sisters in other Christian communities, that's the moment of unity. When they're all holding hands, they're becoming literally one at that moment. But for us as Catholics, that's not the moment of unity. Our moment of unity is the moment of communion, when we become a community, when we become one body in the body and blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I love this image of this gospel because it's presenting that Eucharistic aspect that until this day is the center of who we are, you know, and the nourishment in order to keep fishing, in order to keep going into the world, in order to keep together that net, to be able to hold all our brothers and sisters in being one with him.
Se me hace muy curioso en el momento que estamos viviendo hoy como católicos. You have a saying, nada es coincidencia.
Todo es providencia, yeah.
Ah, chills, man. We just lost our beloved Pope Francis.
Yeah.
And this gospel, I mean, it just makes me think of our leader, right? Like our the Pope of the Church, right? This gospel... In the other gospels that we have read, other passages, vemos que Jesús está adentro del barco. En este vemos de que Jesús no está adentro, no se mete. Who is in there? It's Peter. And it's almost like that is the commissioning of Peter to lead the church, right? Which is what we're going to talk about in a bit, right? When Jesus talks to him one-on-one. But I love that image of, you know, we were talking about el barco es la iglesia. Todos estamos dentro de la iglesia. Y nuestro trabajo, como tú estás comentando, es de ir a pescar a más gente. Pero como tú dices, no lo podemos hacer si no estamos unidos. And so what do we need in order to be united is the Pope, you know, to lead us and to guide us in that mission that we're called to fish more people, to come to know who God is, right? So I just think it's kind of fitting, and what a moment to be in right now, as we are going to enter into the conclave. And I think it's if anything, he visto, yo no sé si tú te has dado cuenta que todos están diciendo, oh, va a ser, estamos esperando que sea fulanito de tal, or let's see if it's going to be this one, or lo que sea. I think if anything, we should all just be called to the prayer. I mean, it's kind of fun to look at all that stuff. I'm not going to lie. Yo soy humana, you know, it's like, oh, ¿quién va a ser, right? Pero también debemos de dejarnos ser guiados por el Espíritu y a ver quién nos va a dejar.
Exacto, la guía del Espíritu Santo, ¿no? Que también lo hemos estado escuchando en estos días en el Evangelio, el dejarnos guiar por el Espíritu Santo.
Yeah, I think it's like the most fitting thing to just like abandon ourselves. It doesn't matter where they're going to come from, but we have to let the Spirit move wherever the Spirit needs us to move in, right? Así como Jesús navegó ese barco y les dijo, pónganlo en este lado, and they listened. I think that's an invitation for us today to listen to the Spirit. And that's the prayer that we have for the cardinals that are about to start that selection, to allow themselves to be moved by the Spirit. So that's a huge prayer. But I going back to this gospel, and the what caught my attention was, and it has always been. So I remember one time I went to Mass, y creo que tenía ya tiempo no ir a misa en español, y me causó mucha curiosidad de escuchar cuando Jesús le pregunta a Pedro que si lo amaba. And I think it's very interesting because in English, we have the only way we say I love you is I love you. En español, tenemos la dicha de poder decirte te amo y te quiero. Son dos distintas formas. El te amo es te amo de corazón. It's a different level. Like there's a different meaning, right? Usualmente nos decimos entre amigos, oh, te quiero mucho, you know? But when we go into elevate it to the te amo, there's like something shifts, right? En mi familia, de chiquitos nunca nos decíamos que nos amábamos. Fue hasta más tarde, de ya llegando de adulto, que, you know, we will tell each other, oh, you know, te amo, I love you. And it's just, it's powerful cuando escuchamos las palabras te amo. And so I remember listening to it, y se los voy a leer porque él dice, cuando terminó Jesús de comer, porque quiero que pongan atención en esto. Jesús dijo a Simón Pedro, Simón, hijo de Juan, ¿me amas más que estos? Y luego Pedro le contesta, sí, Señor, tú sabes que te quiero. Jesús le dijo, apacienta mis corderos. Luego le pregunta otra vez, le dice, Simón, hijo de Juan, ¿me amas? Pedro volvió a contestar, sí, Señor, tú sabes que te quiero. Are you hearing that? It's like Jesus is still going, me amas. Now, why? Because the translation from the Greek, there are four types of love variables, we could say. So the first one that we know is the storge love, que es el amor que se le tiene a una familia. Luego we've got the eros love, which is the love that you have for a partner, someone that you're attractive to. Luego tenemos filial love, which is the one that you have within your siblings, con tus hermanos. Y luego entra agape love, which is that divine love, which we've talked about that in the past, you know, that self-giving of self. Entonces aquí, en esta traducción, vemos de que Pedro le dice, sí te quiero, pero en el sentido de hermano. You know, that brotherly love, that filial love. Y Jesús le estaba diciendo, no, do you have that agape love for me? And I don't think Peter in that moment was able to give him that. Because later, vemos de que Pedro sí últimamente da su vida completamente por Jesús. Because as we know, and even John, St. John tells us of the way that he was going to be crucified or killed. It was through crucifixion, right? And then we hear the stories that que Pedro no se sentía digno de ser crucificado como su Señor. Entonces pidió que la cruz fuera invertida upside down. And that's how he, you know, died. That's what we hear, right? But I love this is what catches my attention. And this is why I love Jesus, because when we talked about this last week, Jesus meets us where we are. He doesn't push himself, because en la tercera vez le podía haber dicho, oye, Pedro, te estoy preguntando que si me amas y me sigues contestando que me quieres. Pero él le da instrucción, le dice, ok, bueno, pues creo que quiero que apacientes mis corderos, quiero que cuides a mis ovejas y apacientas a mis ovejas. Like, he tells him these instructions. But in that, he's also going on a third time, he says to him, Simón Pedro, hijo de Juan, ¿me quieres? So Jesus knew that he needed to meet him at his level. ¿Dónde estás? And that's the thing about Jesus. He's always going to keep meeting us where we are. So we need to be open to just connecting with Jesus and knowing where, what he wants from us. And I think, again, this is so fitting because, so yes, the Pope guides us. But I think it's a big call for us to also, are we also feeding the sheep? Are we also, estamos
apacentando las ovejas?
Yes. And I think that's powerful. You know, are we actually consoling the people around us? Or como tú habías dicho anterior, are we making the problem even worse?
Absolutely, yeah.
I think that it's necessary for us just to take this moment and to ask ourselves, you know, if Jesus was to ask us, do you love me? How would we answer? And I don't know, for you might be tough. For me personally, I want to jump up and say, I love you. Pero lo más difícil es hacer la acción. Porque es más fácil decir, oh, yeah, Jesús, yo te amo. Pero, ¿qué estoy haciendo con ese amor?
Y yo pienso que también algo muy importante, sobre todo en esta temporada, en este tiempo en el que estamos de la Pascua, todo esto es el resultado de la resurrección.
Mm.
Toda esta transformación de los apóstoles, de la iglesia, de todo eso, es el resultado de su resurrección, ¿no? Y la pregunta también para mí sería, ¿no? ¿Nosotros estamos dejándonos también transformar por la resurrección de nuestro Señor Jesucristo? ¿Hay un cambio en esa resurrección? Caminamos toda esta cuaresma, pero, y cierto, estos 50 días son para festejar, pero ¿hay algo que está cambiando, que está transformando? ¿Nos estamos dejando transformar o simplemente we go through the motions like every year to commemorate an event that happened in the history of humanity or the history of salvation, but even Easter has to be proclaimed and by our own transformation, you know, by our own spiritual change, by our own, the change in our family, in our church, in our community, and in ourselves, you know. Is the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ changing you as well as it changed the life of these men and women that we just proclaimed in the gospel today?
Yeah, it just makes me think about the cycles in our life. And in each cycle, nos invita a un momento de transformación. So I think maybe that's the jewel. It's like in this cycle of Easter that we're in, this liturgical season of Easter, how are we being transformed? So we went through the period of Lent. We talked about that transformation. Now we're in this Easter. How are we, through the power of baptism, right? Through the power of the Eucharist, how are we being transformed in that resurrected, you know, that resurrection? And what is it? What's the spark that we're getting in this time of Easter? Como tú dices, estamos en momento de celebración. Es que nos deberíamos de tener tanto gozo que podemos ir a cualquiera y dar esa esperanza a los demás that there is a living God. There is a God who made himself man to give us that understanding of how much he loves us. So we should have that. And if you don't have that, then the question is why? What's stopping you? What part of you needs that transformation in your life? Right? I question that self for myself too, especially in los tiempos que estamos viviendo hoy. It's a hard time to be living, you know, in this time. But we also are experiencing the year of Jubilee of hope que nos dejó el Papa Francisco. I mean, that's just powerful in itself. So I hope that you're understanding that our our mission is to be those missionaries of hope to others. And that's, I think that's how the net will not separate. It won't break if we continue to bring hope for others, that there is a living Christ living amongst us and waiting to meet one another and asking us, do you love me? Ma'am us? So maybe that's where we end up our podcast today, our episode. And as always, I invite you to go ahead, if you can, go ahead and close your eyes if it feels safe. And today I want you to imagine yourself in this sea. Perhaps maybe it's a quiet sea. It's just starting to break from that darkness to light. Maybe you're part of the fishing crew, or maybe you're just a spectator watching the scene unfold. And you see a group of men just completely sad, or maybe their demeanor is just completely broken. And then all of a sudden there's a shift of energy when they contact this other person that you might not know who is right away. And maybe you partake in getting closer to the scene, and you too are invited to have breakfast with the group. What does that feel like for you? How does your energy shift as you get closer and warmer to the fire that's being tended to? What is it like to share that experience of joy now, of transformation, of awe? Sit with that for a moment and let the Spirit move you. Perhaps Jesus asks you and turns to you, "Me amas? Do you love me?" Take this time and ask for his guidance of what it is he wants you to do in this new cycle of transformation, in this moment of transformation. Dear and gracious God, we thank you for this moment. We thank you for gifting us this opportunity to just stop and meditate on this beautiful gospel. We're grateful for your presence in our lives and for this invitation of transformation. We ask that you continue to give us the tools necessary to keep walking this journey. As we enter into this boat, as we continue to be part of this boat, the church, we ask that you help us be those missionaries of hope to others, the ones that help lift one another to keep us united. And then we also ask that you send your Spirit over that conclave that's about to begin. May your Spirit move where you feel the church needs to be moved in the direction that it needs to be guided. We ask that you allow them to listen, to have an open mind, heart, and ears. For we trust you in everything that's about to occur in our church. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Bueno, pues, amigos y amigas, hemos terminado nuestro podcast of What is the Jewel. Esperamos de que se hayan llenado de mucha bendición y que hayan aprendido algo. Esperamos de que este momento sea de transformación Y pues, como les dije, como oramos, vamos a estar en oración. El conclave empieza mayo 7. Así que vamos a esperar por la voluntad. Y pues, if you want to check out, you know, the actual event happening, go ahead and you can go to vatican.va. They usually have a website where you can look at and see the live feed. You can go on YouTube to check that out as well. On our Instagram page, I'll just be posting. My nephew thinks that maybe in 2 days it will take. We'll see. It happened in 28 hours con Papa Francisco. I believe that's how long it took for us to know the new Pope. I'll never forget. I'll talk about this another time. I'll never forget when Pope Francis was elected. I was teaching. So that was very powerful to have shared that with my students. But yes, know that you're in our prayers. We're praying for the church. Si tienen alguna petición, you know where to find us, whatisthejewel@gmail.com, or on our Instagram, whatisthejewel. And como siempre, saben de que están en nuestras oraciones, así que bendiciones a todos ustedes. Hasta luego.
Felices Pascuas.